Good morning and welcome in to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. Glad to see all the bright shining faces this morning. Let's take the gray book, favorite gospel songs, and we'll turn to number 58. Number 58. Sounding good already. Let's turn back to number 8. Number 8.
Thank you. Thank you, Miss Rachel. Thank you, Brother Fabian. Brother Fabian's filling in for Brother Sam this morning. Brother Sam, I think, is going to be out a couple of weeks, if I remember right. They're vacationing along with several other people. I thought our crowd was going to be real thin, but we've come right on up here the last little bit. We're glad to see each and every one that's here today. Glad to see our visitors that have come in. Or if you consider yourself visitors, I think every one of you come fairly regular, and I appreciate that. And so we're glad to see each and every one here today. I'm going to give you a quick announcement right here. You're going to see this pamphlet right here, or this paper out here on the table. This may not be anything that you would be interested in, but then again, it might be something that you would be interested in. And that is knowing where that we as the Missionary Baptist churches in this area came from originally. And what it is there is a group that does a Baptist history tour up in Virginia. It's based out of Upper Spotsylvania Missionary Baptist Church that is up there in Virginia. And they stay at Fredericksburg and do a bus tour among a lot of old churches is what they do. And you get the opportunity to hear a lot of stories about of our forefathers that helped bring the gospel to us. And if you're interested in that, it's going to have some information on that sheet. And if you don't find the information you need, just get with Paula or myself one, and we'll let you know. We did this back, I guess, 3 or 4 years ago. They've gone to doing it every other year, but we did this, I guess, about 4 or 5 years ago on second thought, and it was very enjoyable. We're together with a lot of good old-fashioned Baptist people, and you get to tour churches that have a great history. For example, one of the ones that we went to was used for a hospital during the Civil War. And actually, U.S. Grant, I'll say it that way, I have trouble with his first name. U.S. Grant, our president, while he was general and commanded the Union Army, took the church as his home base for a while. And that was interesting. They had pictures from that era. And it's just an interesting thing to see how that our churches and where they came from. There was one church that we went to. It was one of three churches that was organized out of one revival. And it was during the Great Awakening. And I think they had something like 300 people get saved. And they organized three different churches out of that one revival. Is what they did. And I found that very interesting. I thought, Lord, if we could do that now, to see that many people saved and that many people come together and being willing to worship the Lord in power and truth. That was a wonderful thing. But I will say this. It also makes you appreciate what you have here, because those churches do not worship like we do anymore. And it does make you appreciate that. I just want you to understand, we have a privilege here at Murfreesboro Church to be able to come together and worship and allow the Spirit to move. Because in those places, from what I've seen and heard out of them, they know nothing of the Spirit. They just come together in a very formal way. And just come together, and they have somebody standing up there reading a sermon, and they sing a few songs, and then they go home. That's the way a lot of people does. So I want you to, if you're interested in this, this is the Virginia Baptist History Tour. If you'd like to go to it, pick up one of those. And even if you're not interested in going, pick up one of the flyers. You may know somebody that would enjoy going to that. With that being said, I would say today we're glad to see each and every one here today. We appreciate the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord today. Let's do our children's church right quick. And so kids will come right over here today. Come right on, kids. Come on, Luke. Come on, Luke. You coming to me? Or are you going to sit over there? You going to sit with me, okay? Come on. Did I run her off already? Oh, my. Okay. I only got five questions for you today. Can y'all answer five questions? First question is, who is good? Come, welcome back. Who is Jesus? He's Jesus. He is the... You going back to mama? Okay. Jesus was who? The Son of? Right. Do you know that he came at the very best time that he could come? The Bible says in the fullness of time. Now let me ask you this question. What did he come for? To save sinners. To save anybody that had sin is what he came for. Do you know how that he said that you could be saved? He said that by your faith ye shall be saved. In other words, believing in him that you might be saved. You believe in him, and you know what he'll do? He will save your soul. Now, the way that he did that is he did a work. We talk about him doing what on the cross? Dying on the cross, right? He died on the cross for us. So he died, but he didn't stay dead. You see, they buried him and put him in a tomb, didn't they? But he came out of that grave, didn't he? And you know what? He's still alive. That's the best thing of all. Jesus did it all that we might be saved. That's what he did. All right, I said it's going to be short today, so I'm going to turn you loose. Thank y'all for coming up today. We're thankful for those that came up. Appreciate each and every one that did come up today for our children's church. Lord willing, we'll have some more younger ones coming up here for long that will help out the numbers there. So it's good to see each and every one here today. As we said, we're glad to have each and every one here today. If you consider yourself a visitor, we're glad to see you today. Just make yourself right at home with us, and let's come together and let's worship together. We want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart this morning? Let's remember our sick. Let's remember the West family over here. They've got their problems, I will say. Miss Joyce had her little surgery this week. Let's continue. She's back with us today, but let's keep her in our prayers. Remember Brother Slick, Miss Barbara. Let's remember Brother Lowell Davenport, Miss Barbara. We always need to remember them. Miss Nettie, we're glad she's back with us today. And there's all several more that I'm probably going to get in trouble for leaving out, and I apologize if I do. But let's pray for the ones that are not here today. Let's pray the Lord stirs their heart at this time that, first of all, they'll miss being with us. But second of all, that it'll stir their hearts that they'll pray for us, that we'll be able to worship the Lord today. We ask that you follow the Lord in this service today, and you ask the Lord to do what he needs to do through you, is what I would ask you to do today. It's good to see each and every one here. Any other prayer requests that I'm forgetting? Go ahead, Miss Annie. Yeah, yes, she does. Do remember our wife, Paula. She's having some gallbladder issues, and y'all remember her. She's not feeling the best in the world, but hopefully and prayerfully she'll be getting well real soon. Somebody else?
Continue to remember
Lord, help. Yeah. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. Let's do remember the ones at Brother Tim and Sister Sarah's office. They, their co-workers, their employees, they need your prayers. They're like a lot of people, the way it sounds. They don't think a lot about God, and they need to be thinking about Him, because there's coming a reckoning day for them. Anybody else got a prayer request on your heart? Yeah. Good. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you, Sister Tammy. We do. She appreciates our prayers for her family. Sister Tammy's been going through a lot of trouble with her neck and back, and so let's continue to pray for her, but let's remember her mom and daddy in our prayers, as we said earlier. Somebody else. Let's be prayerful one for another, and let's ask the Lord to come into our midst today. Today could be a very special day in our eyes. You know, every one of us have services that we look at, boy, that was a great service, and it sticks in our minds. And we could just have that in our mind. I got one of those moments Friday. We went to out to Macon the other day, and the girls, our granddaughters, were out there, and one of the kids asked for the days of the week to stay, be sung. And Hope was sitting next to me, and she stood up, and I thought, that's the first time I've got to see her stand up on the days of the week. That was special for me. And after they got through singing, I said to her, I said, I think that's the first time I got to see it. Hannah says, no, Daddy, Papa, the night that she got baptized, and her mama said, no, she was back in the back changing. So they missed out on that part. So that was the first time I got to see her stand up, and that was special. Today could be a special day for anybody in our church house tonight. Somebody lost, or maybe it's somebody in the congregation that's been saved. Maybe the Lord would just touch them some way or another. That it would be a blessing to them just to say, I know I'm saved, like Sister Tammy did. Thank the Lord for saving my soul. Something like that. The Lord's got something for all of us if we'll just pay attention and let Him have His way. Anybody else got a prayer request or anything on your heart? It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We're going to call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother James, would you start our prayer, please?
All right, thank you. Let's continue our song service. We'll turn to number 60. 60, number 60. And I'll need your help, the men. I'll need your help on this one. So get ready. Here we go.
Thank you.
have one more. Congregational numbers, turn to number 76.
Thank you, Brother Fabian, for the good songs. Thank you, Sister Rachel, for the good playing. Good morning again to everyone. I trust all the ladies had a good Mother's Day last week. And because of that last week, we did not have our business meeting. That being of order of the church in past business meetings. So today we will have our business meeting after service, and just to let everybody know that, so kind of keep that in mind. Should not be too long from what I'm understanding, but we'll give place to the things that needs to be done. So everybody keep that in mind this afternoon. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Has anybody got anything on your heart, a word of testimony, or anything at all? We're going to take a reading lesson today out of the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. The 24th chapter of the book of Matthew is where we're taking a reading lesson from. If you're familiar with your Bible, you'll probably recognize this chapter as being the chapter in which that Jesus makes some prophecies. And basically... It is the chapter that most people use as far as distinguishing his second coming and when it will be. And so we're going to read just three verses today. And we're going to start with verse 1 is what we're going to start with. And it says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple." You know, I've always kind of found that just a little bit curious. Jesus was 33 years old. Every year he had went to that temple at least once a year. And his disciples decided to say, "Hey, Lord, look at this. Isn't it beautiful?" That's kind of the way I look at it. "But Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And what he is doing right here in this verse is making a prediction of a future event. And that was that temple that they were basically so in awe by was fixing to be destroyed in just a matter of years. And I think it came to pass about 30 or 40 years later when that building that they called the temple was completely destroyed and not one stone upon another. Now verse 3 it says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And that's reading the first 3 verses of the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew for our reading lesson today. Not long ago, I was reading a lot about history, church history. And I had gotten back into the, into what we call the Dark Ages and tracing the history of our churches. And I'm one of these that believes the way you trace a church's history is by its doctrine. And what that church preaches and teaches is basically how you do it. It's because of the lack of writings of years gone by as far as history, books being kept, books and records being destroyed in many places, it's really hard to say this church came from here, this church came from here, all the way back to Jesus. I believe we do. Don't get me wrong about that. I believe our lineage goes all the way back to Jerusalem and the fact that Jesus started his church. I believe it does. But during that time of study, one of the most predominant beliefs was that Jesus was coming back one of these days. I've heard it mentioned several different times in the past year or so, people saying that's something that needs to be preached more. And I agree with them. It does. Now, I can only preach that God would give to me to preach, but I believe he's coming back. Back a few months ago, I preached somewhat of a similar sermon about this, and I started this way, and I said, how many of you believe that the Lord's coming back one of these days? And I think just about every hand went up in the church house. Then after that, I said, how many of you believe that it's coming real soon? And just about every hand went up again. I'm not going to do the same poll again today, but the idea of this message today is what to look for as far as when the Lord is coming back. I want you to see some signs that the Lord brought forth, his disciples, his church has always taught as far as when the Lord is coming back. First of all, let me make this, I guess you call it disclaimer. I don't know when the Lord's coming back. I do not. I'm not going to make a prediction today that the Lord is coming on blank day, we'll say today. However, I do believe that the Lord could come back today. I would not be surprised if it was today. And we'll look at these signs that we're going to talk about today here for just a little while. in this message today. I want you to go with us today into the book of 1 Timothy, into the fifth chapter. You might have guessed that was where, or third chapter, excuse me, 2 Timothy, the third chapter. You might have guessed that would be one of the places that I would go to. But I want to read through these rather quickly, if the Lord will, as far as what to be looking for, as far as when the Lord is getting ready to come back. And you look at the first verse, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." I think we can definitely say today that we are living in perilous times. We hear of people being murdered regularly. You hear of it and see it in your local area. It is affecting everybody here in Murfreesboro from time to time. And it's perilous in these days. It's perilous just to get out on the road and travel up here to Old Ford Highway and to run out through there. It's perilous, perilous ways to be in that time. It means it's a terrible time, and it's dangerous is what this perilous means. He said, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy." We live in a day and age which, in which that all of these things are coming true. You have to look at it in that way today to realize that the Lord is preparing to come back real soon. He said, "Without natural affections, truce makers, false accusers, incontinent," that means to be without self-control, "fierce, despisers of those that are good." This day and age, there's individuals out there that will despise anybody that goes to church. Let me put it in that way. Anybody that tries to do good, they will be a despiser of those individuals, thinking that that individual may think themselves better than anybody else. I want to make a statement here today. I'm no better than anybody else that is on this earth, not even the worst thug that is in the prison over here. And I don't mean that in a way of saying that they're worse than me, but to just describe what most people calls them, I don't think that I'm any better than any one of them, except for one thing. I know that I've been saved by the grace of God. He says, "They are traitors, they're heady, they're high-minded, they're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." As Brother Timothy was talking about today, get in their kayaks, getting ready to go out into the world, go on to the river, maybe fish or whatever they were going to do. This is a love of pleasure more than the lovers of God. I thank God today that every one of you are in the house of God today. But the major part of this world today, they love the pleasure more than they love God. They may have a pleasure that is involving alcohol or drugs or something like that. They may have a pleasure as far as going to a sporting event or something like that. They value their pleasure more than they value the souls of their own children or even their own souls in many cases. He says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Let me get verse 6 with this one. He said, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive, silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust." We live in a day and age in which that there is a form of godliness out there. There's people out there that basically says that they worship God. They won't worship Him as saying Jesus is his son, they'll just say he is God. They have a type of worship out there where it may be a little idol that they bow down to. They may have a type of worship in which that they call other things God. They may even have a type of worship in which that they say that they are worshiping the same God we do, but they deny the very power of him. They deny the very fact that he is saving souls, that he leads them in his ways. Notice it says that they lead silly women. This is not a term just for women, but it's talking about a particular type of person. Someone that's not understanding, someone that's not paying attention to their actual ways, that are just attracted by their own lust is what they're doing. I went to a singing back a few years ago, and I remember them introducing one of the singers, and he had retired, and they said in so-and-so year, these two young men came in there, these handsome young men. A lady behind us said, "Whoo, and he was pretty," was what she said. It was about his looks in that way. In other words, their religion was about their own desires and lust in that time. They were worshiping that man instead of God. Do you think I'm wrong about that? Think about it now. We live in this kind of day and age in which that individuals today have these kinds of attitudes. Paul said, in the last days is what he says. Now, you might say, when is the last days? When is it coming about? I think if you look at that chapter and you go back and read it and examine it very well and examine it with your own understanding, you will understand that you are in the last days right now. Yep, you are. So what are some of the signs of the Lord coming back? We go back to the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, and I'm not going to go through all of these verses, but I do want you to recognize that they asked two questions of the Lord here in this third verse. And he said, as he sat up on the Mount of Olives, they said, "Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world?" They asked two questions. One of them has a conjunction sentence. It has an "and" in the middle of it. These things that shall be. What had Jesus said before when he asked that question? What he asked, he had told them was that that temple was going to be destroyed. That was these things. They said, "Tell us when these things shall be," is what he says. How many of you today have heard a preacher get up and tell you, because of the wars and rumors of wars, the time of the Lord is nigh at hand? That wasn't what he was talking about there. I want you to understand that today. But I want you to understand it was a warning to the people of Jerusalem that there was coming a warful time upon all of them. And actually Jerusalem would be surrounded and that they would be destroyed and everyone would be taken out of Jerusalem again. And we find in history that did happen. Now, if you look at those verses, and basically you're going to look at down to verse 28, and you're going to down through verse 26, you're going to see those things that he's talking about, when the temple was going to be destroyed. You may differ with me on this, but you better take a good look at this. But now notice what he starts to say in verse 27. He says, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." I want you to understand today, it is very important that we be prepared to meet the Lord in this day. It's not going to be a day where that you get a warning about something happening. We are blessed today as far as having a weather service that is somewhat accurate. Notice I said somewhat. But in my early days of my life, I can remember the new weathermen getting on there, and they would say, we have a report of a tornado here. They didn't say where it was going. They didn't say what it might do. Now they start to say, we have a cloud here that shows a tornado may be there. Y'all get prepared. Y'all get ready. They tell you to get in your safe place is what they tell you to do. I'm going to tell you today, the Lord is not going to give you any other warnings today about that. He's not going to give you this sign that says, well, you better get ready. You got a week to get ready. You got a few hours to get ready. He said, even as the lightning cometh out of the east unto the west. How many of you watched a lightning bolt come and flash through the air? How many of you predicted that lightning bolt was going to flash from that place to that place? Maybe you predicted that it was going to come straight down and hit just a little ways in front of you. That's what he's talking about. It's going to be a sudden thing that's going to happen. It's going to be something that is going to happen in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye. If you go back over into the book of Corinthians, let's get a verse here right quickly. In 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, verse 16, this is going to be the verse that I was speaking about. In a moment of a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, notice he says that, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. There is coming a day in which that if the Lord is coming. What is a moment? Answer your question yourself. What is a moment? It's like a flash of lightning. It's here right now, and then it goes away. A moment just passed. Now it's here. No, it's gone. That's what a moment is. In a moment, the Lord is coming back. So what are the signs of these things? He said in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation. The tribulation is talking about what has been going on through from verse 4 all the way down through verse 26. That is the tribulation that he is talking about. You don't think that's what he's talking about? Let's go over to the book of Luke. He gives a little better way of saying it. Go back over to the 21st chapter of the book of Luke, and you'll start with verse 28. And what he says, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. He said, behold the fig tree and all the trees which they now shoot forth. Ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh, and it's at hand. So likewise, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is at hand. I'm at the wrong place. Let's go back to the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. And what he says in the 24th chapter of Matthew, starting with verse 36, he said, but of the days and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Then he says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What were the days of Noah in that day? What were they doing? Jesus explains it very plainly here. He said, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, and marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. That goes back to what Paul was telling Timothy. They're going about their daily routines. They're going about their daily actions. And what he says here, he says, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, listen to what he's going to tell you here in this verse. He says, he said, there shall be two in the field. One shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Now, what that is talking about is the two men walking in the working in the field. That's the same thing that if you're working at home or maybe you're working on a job, you may be standing next to someone that is a good friend, and you're saved and they're not, and you're going to heaven, you're leaving and they're not. There will be two women grinding at the mill. That was their daily labor, as it was, grinding the mill for their food, preparing their food in that day. These two women, well, one was saved, one was not. One would be taken and the other one would be left, is what it says. And then he says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now, I need to get back to the signs here. Then in the book of Peter, we find what Paul says there. 2 Peter, in the 3rd and 4th verse of the 3rd chapter. And what he says here is, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Scoffers is someone who makes mock of, someone who says, that's not true. That's somebody that's going to say to you, do you really believe that Jesus is coming? Are you really one that's going to say how that you believe that Jesus died on the cross? Are you going to be one of those kinds of people? Well, we deal with them all of the time, don't we? But he says, know this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Again, going back to what was said to Timothy in that day, their lust being about worldly things, about the things that they desire. That's what he's talking about. Peter is echoing what Paul said. And what they will tend to say is, like I told you a while ago, where is the promise of his coming? Now listen to what he says. This, he said, for since the fathers fell asleep. In other words, since the old people, these people in the Bible, since they died, he said, all the things stay the same. That's what this world is saying today. They're saying that these things have passed. And surely he's not coming, as what they're saying. He said they continue to be the same all the way through. In other words, they have in their minds, it's going to stay the same. Now, I want us to go back to Luke once again in the 21st chapter there, just for a moment here. And we'll try to wind this up, Brother Fabian, here in just a moment. We stopped our reading a while ago about the fig tree. And you know that when the trees bring forth their blooms, you know that it's time for summer to be close by. We call it spring. You realize that the Jewish people really did not recognize but two seasons. They called it winter and summer is what they did. That's the reason You see that he said, when you see the leaves coming forth, you know that summer is nigh. One of my favorite times of year is when the deadness of the trees, and they're just branches there, and you start to see those buds swelling, and you start to seeing them start to leave out. My daddy always said there was a certain time of year that even though they were not in full leaf, they were completely, looked to be completely leaved out. My friends, today, as far as the Lord is coming, he is in that period now, I believe. He is in the period in which that everything seems to be in order. Everything seems to be in place. And you might say, well, it should have been already, surely. He said, verse 31, so likewise ye, when ye see these come to pass, now know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. I think it's important for us today as God's people to know that the Lord's kingdom, his coming, is close at hand. That's what that word nigh means. It's coming close. Know that it's nigh at hand. When you look at the things that are going on that Paul talked to Timothy about, when you look at the things that the Lord spoke about there in the 24th chapter, he said, know that these things are at hand. Okay, one of the scoffers, let me bring this out here. I believe I need to. One of the things that the scoffers say today, they'll say, yeah, we believe the Lord's coming back, but how many of you heard there's got to be a temple built in Jerusalem there on Mount Zion again? You heard that? I seen head shaking. He said, so likewise ye, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is at hand. Verse 32, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. You know, I had a hard time answering that generation for a long time, because you know, you got those people that say, well, the kingdom of God has not been preached in all the world just yet. I believe it has myself. You know what? I believe it was actually fulfilled with Paul, especially, in that he went into all the known world and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, he and the other apostles. If you go back into the Fox's Book of Martyrs and you see where just the 12 apostles themselves, where they died at, you know, one of them died in India. Oh, that was a long ways away then, wasn't it? You know, some of them died in Africa. Some of them died, yeah, in Europe, in Rome, in places like that. Some of them died in other places. According to history, Paul preached in Europe all the way to Spain, is mentioned in the Bible. Some believe that he went on into England and preached the gospel to people there. But I was told, well, there's still places that hadn't heard the truth. I believe it's got there. Even those places that we say cannot be reached. He said, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. In other words, everything was set. It was fulfilled. What is a generation? Technically, we say about 20 years, don't we? Sometimes we say it's the length of the life of a person, then their children come along. That's another generation, 20 to 30 years. Jesus said, this generation, the people that were living there, may have been the very youngest ones that were standing and listening to him there that day. He may have meant everyone, I believe he meant everyone that was listening to him there on the Mount of Olives. I believe that's who he was talking about. These people here, they will not pass away until all these things be fulfilled, is what he's saying. Go back to the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew again. I know I've made you work a little bit today. That's good for us to look around. Go back to the 24th chapter of the book of Luke again, and let's back up just a few verses. And he said, immediately after the days of tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The world today says that's impossible. Isn't that what the world says? Our scientists would say, oh, there's no way. But yet they'll turn around and they'll say, you're killing the earth. You're going to destroy it. We're not going to destroy it. God's going to destroy it. He's going to he put the stars in the sky. He's going to take them out of the sky. He's the one turned the light on the sun. And he's the one's going to make it dark. It and the moon and all. Then it says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. That Son of Man is Jesus. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn and weep. Excuse me. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Oh, it's all coming to pass, isn't it? Is Jesus coming back? You better believe he is. Are you ready to meet him? Hey, you remember that moment? Let me go back over. Back over in 1 Corinthians 15th chapter. Nope. 15th chapter. Turn the page. 52nd verse. In the moment of a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. If the Lord came back today, I'm asking you a simple question. If the Lord came back right now, would you be changed to where that you could go with him? You see, that's the ultimate question. Would you be ready to meet him? In the book of Revelations, I believe it's in chapter 7 or 8, 1, it talks about how that when he is coming back on that cloud, that there'll be people that will start to run to the mountains and to the hills. And they'll start to say, hide us from the face of him that sits upon the cloud, the Lamb of God. Will you say in that day, I want you to think about this. You need to think about this very seriously. And I don't mean just the sinners. We need to think about it as saved individuals today. We need to think about it very strongly. I think about it. Sinner friends, if Lord's trumpet sounded right now, where would you be? For us. Think about your child, your grandchild. Think about your friends. Where would they be at right now? Would they be changed, or would they be running somewhere to hide, saying, hide us from the face of the Lamb? He's coming. You know what it means, power? It means destruction. He's going to destroy it all. Oh, you might be thinking, well, everybody goes, we'll have a place right here on this earth. We can just bounce around, do as we please, and everything. Bible says in 2 Peter, I believe it is, maybe it's 1 Peter, but he says, the Bible says this earth will melt with first fervent heat. All elements will. That means even diamonds. You know, they're the hardest thing there is. If you think of something harder, it's going to melt in that day. Are you ready to meet him? Brother Fabian, that's our message today. Come and seek the Lord if you're not ready. It's time. You might get another day. The Lord might not come back today. But what if he did? What if he did right now? I want you to think about it now. What if he did? While we stand and sing, seek God now before it's too late. Go ahead.
The scene number 273, if you need to prepare for Jesus' coming, these altars are open. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Come on down and seek God. 273.